good morning. It is Friday, December 21st, 2018. First day of winter 2018. Holy moly, here we are over the back fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears. Pastor, here we are a few days before Christmas. The year is almost over, and now it is officially winter.
You know, until you just mentioned that this morning, it has slipped my mind that it's officially winter. I'm a little more thinking about tomorrow, which is tomorrow's the 22nd, correct?
Yeah.
Tomorrow's my wife's birthday, and I better not forget that.
Ah.
Hey, it's good to be on here with you this morning, Scott. Again, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker, and I am looking forward to Christmas, as I'm sure you are. A lot of our things at the church are finally done. We ended up actually serving 21 families with gifts for their children for Christmas, which is bumping about 80 kids this year. What a blessing that was. And so many reached out to help. That was great. And now we're distributing food, and it's just, you know, it's not, I don't say that to say, oh, we're doing this great thing. It's just, I have to tell you, everyone out there, that helping other people brings you such Christmas joy and blessing.
You know, it's interesting. The other night at the Christmas special, Christmas party, we always have Patty Worcester in, who has been helping with Christmas Clearinghouse here in Marion for close to 30 years now. And I asked her the other night what the grand total raised this year in the holiday season was, just for Marion County.
Right, right.
$71,000.
Isn't that amazing?
And people, you know, we all year go around saying things aren't like they used to be, and people don't give. Yeah. I've come to figure that is a misnomer for the moment. Because I think in the moment something bad might happen, and you say, boy, that wouldn't have happened 30 years ago.
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
But I think on the whole, the good people are still there. In Marion County, I mean, when you think of $71,000, there's not many people in Marion County who make $71,000 a year.
Well, and that's just in that one place. Our little church alone this year, I know that, you know, to put a value on everything that came in, we're probably up close to probably $6,000 or $7,000 just in our little church and what we distributed. And if you take all the churches in Marion County that are doing those similar things, plus let's not forget our fire departments.
Absolutely.
I know all of our fire departments have their own individual things, their unions and whatnot do. I would guess, and this is probably just a very uneducated guess, but I would guess that I'll bet in Marion County you'd be closer to everything that goes out over Christmas. I bet you're up close to $150,000.
I would say in that neighborhood, because I know the police and fire do tremendous things at this time of year. And I also know, at one time I knew the number of churches in Marion County, but I know it's well over 100. So if you figure that if each of those churches just raised $1,000 each, and I'm sure some of the bigger ones raised more than that, and that's outside of the $71,000 that this great organization for almost 30 years, Christmas Clearinghouse, which is an independent organization of Junior Service Guild,
right,
has been doing. And the great thing the other night, you know, Tuesday was 7 days prior to Christmas. That's when we had the Christmas special. And that's when Patty came on and announced that that was the grand total,
right,
this year. And that people had already signed up and been in, but they had money left. And if anybody needed something, to call them and met the requirements. And she emailed me the next day and said somebody called the
Isn't
next morning.
It's kind of funny. We this year have had more people come. You know, our Christmas weekend giveaway was 2 weeks ago, and since then we've had several that have had needs, and you know, you just take care of them. But you know, I'm really excited about what we're going to be doing this next few days. I proposed something the other day, and I'd like to bring that up again as soon as I sneeze.
No, but you're listening to WWGH Radio 107.10 FM over the back fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears. Now, don't forget, this program repeats every Sunday morning, 9, 10 to 10 a.m., and then Tuesday, that will be on Christmas Day, this show, So if you're listening to this on Christmas Day, Merry Christmas, 6:10 to 7 p.m.
Okay, I'm back. And that sneeze never happened. I don't know where it went. But anyway, what I was saying was that, you know, I was just talking, this is my friend Tim Steele stopped in with me today. Welcome, Tim.
Yeah, Tim.
And I was just telling Tim that we had talked about, I'd love to see a four-day Christmas. It could be called the 4 days of Christmas. And however, whatever order you wanted to do it in, say that you did, the first day was all the time that was focused towards the true meaning of Christmas, which is, of course, the birth of Christ, and your church services and all those things. And you do all that stuff on the first day. And then maybe the second day could be a time that you devoted that day to sharing and loving of friends, just friends and people you know outside of family. Third day could be when you exchange with family and have them in for dinner. And the fourth day could be rest and recuperation to get back to work. Wouldn't that be cool? Because Christmas sneaks up and it's just like, bang, it's here, all this anticipation. And then all of a sudden it's gone. And I know there's food left. We could stretch it out, right?
It would be
so much fun. I enjoy Christmas. And another thing, if you're out there, that's really, really important. Those people ringing bells at the stores, they're not doing it just because they like to stand out and ring the bells. That really, I've been involved with the Salvation Army before and helping and ringing in food distribution. And I'll tell you that what they do is they really help an awful lot of people. And so many of these agencies that this time of year, they really step it up. They help all year long. And with the Salvation Army, that is their one big fundraiser for the year. So if you're out there, don't pass them without throwing some money in the kettle. I used to ring bell and somebody would say, I already did that at another store or whatever. You know what? I try to, when I walk by and if I can, if I haven't, you know, just put something else in the kettle. Just keep it going. And it's really something that is very, very helpful. By the way, I had to skate out of here the other night. We had our station party. And I had a Pizza with the Pastor and FCA combined Christmas party to go to with Fellowship of Christian Athletes and then Pizza with Pastor that we do. But how did it go? I wasn't here.
It was great.
What did I miss? Did you save me any cookies?
Well, you know, we have a few left. We have a few left. It was a tremendous time because the same thing has happened every year. And I think I told this story last week, but this was our fifth year doing that, having the big Christmas party. And the first year, we did an office Christmas party. Back then, it was much smaller because we didn't have as many people around. But we also did a Christmas special because that's traditionally how it was always done. You did a Christmas party and then you did a Christmas special. And after that first year, the party was so much fun and everybody showed up. I always, you know, I've worked at other radio stations where the Christmas party, to be honest with you, was posted on a bulletin board. I never went one time, and I always heard back from people who said they didn't go. So it was not a big occasion, the office Christmas party. Not to say there's anything wrong with that, it's just the way it was. So when we came here, I thought, well, it might be more of the same. People have, it's a busy time of year, and who knows who will show up. Everybody showed up the first year. And ever since then, we just thought, well, why don't we just put the Christmas party on the air? Because what we did at the Christmas party was sit around and talk about memories of Christmas past, and we sang, and we did nothing that would not be able to be airable. So the 4 years that followed now, we've just put the party on the air, and, you know, everybody, I'm trying to think, I think only three people, because the station's much bigger now, people on the station wise, I think there were only three people who were not here the other night.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. You know, one thing that companies start, when I was worked for companies years ago, one way they get people to their Christmas parties, that's when you got your Christmas bonus or whatever else they would give out. So you better be at the party. I don't, being a pastor, I don't fit into that mold anymore. We don't really have a Christmas party, and we're you know, people anticipate the pastor getting a bonus check would be kind of weird. but anyway, I mentioned to you the other day as I was leaving on Tuesday that I thought on today's show we could talk a little bit about some different Christmases we had and that are memorable, and something that maybe even an event that happened on Christmas that may be something that was fun or whatnot. And I'll let you start, Scott.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this as we prepared for this show today. I was even thinking about it as I was driving in this morning. And I'm going to go, and I want to talk about some specific things as the program goes on. But interestingly enough, when I think about Christmas memories, even up to this point, but I want to go back to when I was a child, a lot of people have traumatic events in their childhood. A lot of people have events that I won't say the name because maybe they wouldn't want me to. But I know somebody here at the station talked about Christmases where there was no money, mm-hmm. and mother and father were not together for whatever reason. And it was tough. And it was a tough time of year. And to be honest with you, every Christmas that I had, and I'm going to take it right up through college, age 21, there was always a tree. There were always presents. There were always Christmas decorations. There was always family gatherings. I think about Norman Rockwell. You know, I really had Norman Rockwell Christmases. So I never had that, you know, I don't even know what it's called. I never had that feeling about Christmas. I didn't have any trauma, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
You know, it's funny. I have to agree with you. I turned 60 last June, so that means I had had 59 Christmases in my life. And while I cannot remember the first three, obviously, I'm like you. I can't remember a time when family wasn't together. I mean, there were some hard Christmases. You know, the first Christmas after losing your parents, especially, you know, I was 13 and lost my dad so tragically. That they're hard. But I can't say they weren't times that didn't bring a smile. There was always a tree. There was always, I have a very Christmassy family. And my mom loved to decorate. And my wife, Shirley, loves to decorate. And so do my kids. So Shirley and I were just talking last night. We were on our way back from doing some last minute shopping in Marion. And we were looking at lights. And we went by one house that was just beautiful. I said, boy, wouldn't you like to leave that up all year round? She goes, I would leave it up. And she's serious. She said, I would leave it up all year round. And sometimes I feel like just saying, well, then why don't you? Because, you know, who cares what other people think? But anyway, I've been blessed that way, too. And I know there's a lot of people that aren't. But you would think, I had a lady contact me and said, you know, we're not going to have a tree. We're not going to have a this. We're not going to have a that this year. And it was just her one child that she had. And I thought to myself, I know this person well. And I've watched them throughout the whole year. I see them all the time. And I know for a fact that if they wanted their child to have a good Christmas, they could have had one. Maybe they might have had to start planning a couple months ahead of time. Rather, a lot of people wait to the last minute and say, uh-oh, there's no money. You know, after you see what I mean? There has to be some planning involved. But even with the best laid plans, one memorable time to me was a couple years ago. I think it was about 3 years ago, maybe four. You know, as old people, time slips away. But I love our Christmas Eve service at Community Christian Fellowship. By the way, you're all invited. It's at 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve. We'll have a candlelight service that lasts about a half hour. And it's a very nice, warm, friendly, wonderful service. It's at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. But anyway, everyone came in, and before everyone came out, I get there, and something's wrong. It's really cold out, and I walked in the church, and the furnace was out. And I'm telling you what, you could see your breath, really see your breath, and it was frigid in there. And people started coming in and, excuse me, filling up the sanctuary. And it was really neat because we had the same service, still had the candlelight service. Everyone kept their coats on. They were in out of the weather. But it really was a feeling, more of a nostalgic feeling, of what maybe people felt years ago when they came together. And it was something warm, chilling, and Christmassy about it that no one complained. No one said, I can't believe it was just, hey, look, we're going to huddle up together. We're going to read the Christmas story, and we're going to sing some songs and have this wonderful time.
You know, a memory of mine that always sticks in my brain, and it wasn't a childhood Christmas. It was a Christmas when I was in college, because when I was in college, I lived in an apartment. And I'll never forget this, because on Christmas Eve, not my immediate family, mother, father, brother, you know, that's always been Christmas Day. But on Christmas Eve, there's always been some kind of gathering for my mother's side of the parents, her family, her parents, cousins, great-nephews, all that. And somehow one year, and I don't even remember what the reasoning for it was, but it was held at my apartment, which was a nice apartment, open, and you know, we had a good time. And the people who were older, the grandparents, mother and father, they had all left at around 11 o'clock. And for whatever reason, a cousin of mine, who I am particularly close with, he's my exact age, had stayed. So he stayed till like 1 in the morning. Well, everybody else had left. Well, in the meantime, since they had left, the temperature had dropped and it had rained that afternoon.
Oh, my.
And so everything was a sheet of ice. And he walked out the door, and he realized that even coming down the steps, it was very, very icy, unbelievably icy, Christmas Eve night. So I said, well, I'll walk down just to make sure you get to your car okay. So I walked down to the end of the steps, and I'm standing there. Now, he's just got to walk maybe 10 feet to his car from where I'm standing on the curb. And he went out there, and he went to open his door, and he went down, totally went down in the parking lot. Now, I can tell this story funny because he didn't injure himself, but he just totally went down. And I could not run to him because if I had, I would have went right down too. So I yelled, and we talked about this for Christmas this year after, I yelled, "Are you okay?" And all I heard was, And I remember that so well on a Christmas Eve night. And he does too. And now, all these Christmases later, we laugh about that. And nobody did get hurt. But it was a memorable Christmas.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
How those things work. I can, you know, and certain Christmases and things stand out. One year, when I was 11, I had, if any of you can remember this, the Hong Kong flu. Remember that?
Oh.
The Hong Kong flu killed a lot of people in this country, and I'm dating myself now because this was back in, it would have been about 1968, 69, and I still look at pictures from that Christmas, and I was just white as a sheet, but I remember that Christmas because of, you know, being that ill. Another Christmases, for some reason, one that sticks in my mind was I got a little, it was almost a turquoise blue Buddy L truck that pulled a horse trailer. And that just sticks. Why does that stick in my mind? I don't know. Maybe it was something that I didn't expect. I don't know. Tim, you're sitting here. My friend Tim Steele came with me today, and we were grabbed some breakfast this morning, and he followed me in. Tim, you've got to have a memory of Christmas that stands out, do you?
Yeah, I had, when I was a little kid, Santa Claus came to our house Christmas Eve.
Oh, no way.
He came in and said hello, gave everybody candy canes and stuff. He hung out for, you know, about 5 minutes and left. And to this day, nobody knows who Santa Claus was that came to the house. My mom, my dad had no clue who it was.
Isn't that funny?
And I think about it every year. That's what I think of every year, that story.
That's great.
You know, Christmas works in a funny way because when I was younger, I tend to remember Christmases of the last 30 years a little better. Christmas when I was young were always good, as I say, so I don't think there's anything that does, you know, oh boy, that was a moment. But I have an uncle. He's my mother's youngest brother, and he's only about 16 or 17 years older than I am. So there's not a great age difference, even though he's my uncle. And when he was growing up, he was always the one, and I think this is the case with a lot of youngest children of big families, he was into music. He was into instruments. He was into magic tricks. He was into all that stuff because I think sometimes the little ones have to get attention because the brothers and sisters are older and moving around. So long story short was, when he was growing up, he always loved magic. And you know what? Why don't we take the call and see who this
Absolutely.
Is?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Scott. Glad to hear your show. I'm one of the left behinds. Steve took off without me this morning. But I want to talk about, we're talking about Christmas. One of the best Christmas presents I've ever received was this year, in fact. And for some reason, I was looking around the coffee table. I found an old frame. I started to throw the frame away, picture frame. And I looked at it, and it was a memory that my father had written about the struggles they had in Appalachia, Ohio, when he was a child back in the early 30s, and about the extremes that his mother went to just to ensure that the children would have a Christmas the next day. Just so happens my sister, through many moves, was up at the same time. It was about midnight, and she was cleaning out a desk that they had hauled around. You know how desk drawers get. You throw pens and pencils and, you know, odd stuff in there. And she was cleaning it out, and she found a piece of paper. And she opened it up, and here it was the very same copy of the memories that my dad had written down that she found within a few minutes of me finding mine. And so that was an excellent Christmas gift this year to look back and read of the struggles many people have to go through to have a Christmas.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Frank.
Oh, go ahead.
Frank?
Yes.
You there?
Yes,
hey,
Pastor.
I'll be back about 11:30. Sorry I missed you, and I hope you're having a great morning.
I had to put up with a friend of ours over coffee this morning, so I hope you and Tim had a good breakfast.
Is he okay?
Oh, he's fine.
Good for him.
Okay.
Hey, I'll talk
Bye-bye.
To you, buddy.
And again, if anybody wants to call in, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. My uncle was good at magic. He liked magic. And when he was younger, he grew up in... I'm not sure what age period this would have been, but the first person, you might remember this, to sell magic kits on television was Marshall Brodeen. So those Marshall Brodeen magic kits, if you were into magic, was a big thing. So all these years go by, and we get up into the 2000s. And lo and behold, I became friends through radio with Marshall Brodeen because I'd interviewed him. And Marshall Brodeen still had magic kits, and I got him to send me one to autograph it to my uncle.
Oh, wow.
And I got with his wife, my aunt, and I never mentioned it to anybody else. I never said anything. We had Christmas Eve. A matter of fact, that year we did it at their house, Christmas Eve, with my mother's family. And I snuck it in through the kitchen, gave it to his wife. She put it in a closet. And I'll never forget waking, because on Christmas morning, she put it out from Santa. And when he opened up that thing, I'll never forget his call that morning, Christmas morning, that here is this Marshall Brodeen magic kit, autographed pictures from Marshall Brodeen, 35 years in the making. That was a great moment.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
You know, so very similar to that story that Frank just told. You know, I don't believe that we just have coincidences anyway. I mean, of course, some things do happen by chance. But, you know, how he and his sister found a card in a paper their father had written, 50 years earlier, at the same time, and they're both reading it and call each other. Now, I do believe in some divine intervention, but they both needed it at that time. And, you know, they were very touched by what he had written about the hardships in Athens, Ohio, clear back in what would have been probably the 1950s, 40s or 50s. And, you know, those things are really neat. And I think that, you know, just like Tim's memory, what a wonderful thing about, you know, you look back and you think about that. I remember some of the Christmases my mom feverishly working at her sewing machine, making us clothes for Christmas. And I would hear, when it was my nap time as a little one, I would hear the machine start running when I went up, because she was making something for me. And I remember one year my sister Kathy and her husband Dean, it was a very lean year for us, and it was their, I think it was their first year of marriage. They bought some really neat gifts for us children. Mom and Dad were having a tough year. And one of my favorites of all time is not the time for sure. It was very difficult. It was in the very early 80s. We were going through a mini recession, if you might remember, when they had all the long gas lines. Things were just horrible. And I was working construction, and it just stopped. And my kids were little, and we had moved back from Springfield because for I don't remember the reason now, but it was all financial. I was trying to work back in Columbus again. And we were staying with my mom for about 3 weeks. And we made all the Christmas presents. And you ever see those little it's like a little tool thing that you drive pegs through and round holes that they give toddlers? You know what I'm talking about? The little bench. I made my son one of those, and he was about 2 years old. He loved it. I mean, he just loved it. And then, you know, it was just, to my kids that are old enough, remember that Christmas, how especially close that it was. And, you know, about 5 years later, 3 days before Christmas, we woke up to smelling smoke. One of the kids came down and says that there's a bunch of smoke, and we had a horrible attic fire. It was electrical, burned up a lot of things. The whole house was smoke damaged, just destroyed half the kitchen because the fire department's ripping the ceiling out to get to it. But I remember even at that, it did not affect our joy at Christmas. And just yesterday, what really struck me was, we were at the church yesterday morning. Some people came in to receive some things. I hear the fire trucks going, and the Brittons, Rhonda Britton runs the Prospect Preschool. She's the director. And her husband Dave, their house was on fire. They lost their kitchen. They lost a kitchen and an attic and the whole house is black smoke. Now it's boarded up, and it was just right before Christmas too. And I shared a little bit with them yesterday, and as I was praying with them. But the outpouring, I'm going to go back to what you're saying about the Christmas spirit. Dave told me yesterday the outpouring is unbelievable. First of all, they go to the Lutheran Church. The Lutheran Church right now doesn't have a pastor. So they offered them the parsonage for as long as they were going to need it. So they have a beautiful home to go immediately walk right into, right up the street. So it won't really inconvenience that. All their gifts were in bags upstairs that were tied and probably okay. Between the insurance company and people and the outpouring yesterday, they said it was just amazing. And, you know, that's when people come together and realize we truly do need each other. And when I look back at the true meaning of Christmas as people talk about it, and I see the birth of Christ, it's very interesting to me that, you know, you would think a king would come with great pomp and circumstance, you know. And we look at Jesus coming in a lowly manger and the way that he came in a very obscure manner, in a very no money, no, I can't even imagine. There wasn't any, Joseph couldn't even go get the get the hot water because I'm sure there wasn't any. But the God needed us to know that he understands, that he understands our worst times, our hardest times, and that he uses the very poor in spirit and those without. You know, a lot of times people feel they're really in a bad place when they don't have much. But I want to tell you something, in a way you're in a good place, because you don't have to fight through so many things to get to the one that truly loves you. You know what I mean? You ever hear that saying that people say, well, you got to hit rock bottom before you look up? It's kind of like that, but not quite to that extent. Because sometimes when we don't have anything, it's easier to turn to God for help than when we have everything and are confident in ourselves. And yeah, that's why a lot of people, you hear, oh, yeah, those jailhouse conversions. I believe that most of those probably are truly what they are. Sometimes people have to get to that point of real need before they realize who they need. And I know in my own life that's the way it was. And there's an old song that I really want to start singing in church. And you never hear this song anymore. It's called "I Believe in Miracles." And one of the lines in that is, "Miraculous, the change in one redeemed at Calvary." And that's talking about the person that really understands and begins to realize and realizes that they need that little Savior, Jesus Christ, that was born in the manger. And the drastic, unbelievable, miraculous change that can take place in one of the hardest lives in the world. I've seen people change. You know, everyone sings the song, "Amazing Grace." Does anyone, you know where that came from, Scott?
No, I don't.
That song, "Amazing Grace," was written by a man by the name of John Newton. John Newton was born into privilege. He was born into privilege. He actually even went into seminary to be a priest. But John had a little bit of a problem. He was a rebel, and he was a drinker, and he was a womanizer. And he ended up, as his life was falling apart and spiraling down, he ended up the captain of a slave ship. And he was at his lowest point, and he realized the wretched man that he was, and he gave his life to Christ, and his life completely turned around. He spent the rest of his life doing good things for the people that he had hurt, in true repentance of his lifestyle. And amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, wait a minute. Amazing grace.
Sweet sound that saved a wretch like me.
Yeah, thank you. My mind went blank. Amazing grace, how sweet that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And that's his life. And he realized that when he got to that point. Wonderful story. Look, Google him sometime. I don't know how well Google will work, but anyway, on that particular subject. But, you know, you see those stories over and over again. And I think that Christmas is a wonderful time of renewal. Think about it, Scott. Oh, this fresh smell of pine in the air. And even if you have to have the fake scents like we do with the scentsies in our house because we have a plastic tree. But, you know, all the vibrance and the color and the beauty and the, you know, it's a time of renewal. It's a time, folks, when we've talked about our Christmases here today a little bit, but it's a time for renewal in your own home. Those people that are coming that maybe you haven't talked to in years, that relative that you really haven't been as kind to as you should, or you think they've been very unkind to you, maybe it's a time to renew that relationship. You know, Scott mentioned, I love the story Scott just told about his uncle in the game. Those things are so cool. My mom was, she did a correspondence course when she was a young, my mom got married at 16, dropped out of school. That happened years ago. And my mom's a tremendous artist. She always wanted to go to art school. Well, Norman Rockwell was offering a art school, a correspondence course that he actually graded and did all the work and the correspondence back and forth. And my mom took that. So she created she collected everything Rockwell. And I grew up watching those pictures and seeing those things. But just like a week ago, my niece was in from Florida, and I was looking through some of mom's stuff. And I found some chalk drawings she had done from back then of herself and of others. And I just sent it home with my niece. And I've got to go through that stuff and just get it out to people. It does no good in a box. But it's renewing that spirit and giving those. It's not hoarding for yourself. It's giving out to them. And I've got to get some stuff out to my sister Laura that lost her house in Paradise. She lost all of her pictures too. But those are things that create memories. And new memories. So,
you know, it's interesting. I never had really thought about this, but now everybody's got a phone. But 10 years ago, I think, is when that started. Prior to 10 years ago, everybody didn't have a phone. And prior to the 1980s, there wasn't even a Polaroid. You actually had to go drop this film off somewhere to be developed. But one time of year, there was usually somebody taking pictures, was Christmas. So a lot of families' pictures And a lot of families are Christmas.
Ours are, yeah. Now that you mentioned that, you're right.
Yeah, and even stores. I you know, you read a lot today about the downfall of Sears, but one of Sears' busiest times, people used to get Christmas photos.
Yeah, you're right. They really
did. Of the family.
See, we never did that because it cost money. And honestly, it's the truth. We didn't do that. I don't ever remember a picture of me with Santa, but I do remember a picture of it's the same year that I got the Buddy L truck. There's a picture. My dad loved to be silly, and he came down the stairs Christmas morning in one of my mom's nightgowns and powder all over his face. I do remember that well, and he.
That explains a lot.
Okay. And we had this cat named Abby, and Abby loved to sleep in the branches of the Christmas tree, and we let her do it. And those are all surrounding that particular Christmas, and some things stand out. I don't know why they do. All my school years stand out, but I lost fourth grade. I can't tell you my teacher. I can't tell you the class, anything about the class, any memories of fourth grade. Why? I don't know. But certain Christmases certainly do stand out. I always loved our family coming, and the guy, as they did in Thanksgiving, is they would go out hunting. And we usually lived out in the rural areas, and they would go out and bring back, you know, some game to eat with our dinner and things of that nature. And it was a great time. Even if they didn't see anything, it was a great time of bonding for the guys and getting together. We need more of that bonding going on. I think we've become far too independent of people, you know, between our phones and our electronics, and we're just far too independent. We really need to socialize more.
Well, that is one of the big problems, and it's all year round, and it's constantly getting a little bit worse, because the people who are not so adept at living a life of solitude based around a telephone or a smartphone, those people are the older generation, and they are dying every day. Yes. And babies are being born every day into a world where that is now the norm. And I really do wonder, in about 15 years, when we hit the generation that will be 25 that never lived in a world without it, what will that be like? I'm fascinated. To hope I'm sticking around long enough to see that.
I don't mean to throw a bummer on anything today, because it's a wonderful day and heading into Christmas. But something my wife and I really noticed this year, and it's not because we were looking for it. It just is because maybe it's because we were looking for things we couldn't find. But this is the first year I can ever remember that as I go through the stores, from the dollar store doors all the way up to Menards or anywhere else, you know, I can't find things that pertain to the faith side of our Christmas. Now, I know at Menards you can buy some plastic manger scenes and things of that nature, but you used to be able in the knick-knack section to find like little menageries and different things, and there's nothing. There is nothing. In the I was losing it the other day. I was in Menards, and they have those projections that go on houses. They even had skulls for Christmas. How about that? But there was not. But everyone, people say, man, I would love to see a manger scene that you project. You can't find anything like that pertaining to that picture. But skulls, and you know, and more, I'm seeing now this year is a year that I see the stores have. We have almost washed ourselves completely of faith in our marketplace, and how sad that is. Because there's a lot of us out there that still love those things and would buy them. So if you're one of those stores out there that you want to get a rush on your stuff, start stocking it, because I'll send everyone to them that's looking for it. I want to find those little snow globes, but they're not a globe. They were oval-shaped. And we used to hand them out at Christmas. They had a manger scene in them. Remember those, Tim? Mm-hmm. And the kids could shake them up. Those were so fun to give out to the little kids. I can't find them anywhere.
Yeah, you know, those were very popular at one point. Very, very popular. And those have been going quite a while. I can't remember the last time I've ever seen one of those.
Maybe I'm just getting old, eh?
I just wonder why they stopped manufacturing them. That's an odd thing, because they were a very popular item.
They've got them with everything else in them, from the Grinch to Snoopy to whatever else. I don't know why it would. I know they would sell, I mean, if nothing else, you know, every Christmas on our last service of the week or for before Christmas, you know, churches like to give things to their little kids in their Sunday, primary Sunday school classes. And those were always a favorite. And I know if they had them, churches would buy them. But I don't know. But, you know, I encourage you to make this part of your Christmas this year. You know, open the Bible, you know, to Luke, start in chapter 1. And you can go through chapter 2 and you'll get the entire story of how it became and what precipitated it. And what a blessing that. And it doesn't take long. Hey, if you don't have a Bible either, contact me at 740-494-2222. That's Community Christian Fellowship. I will have a Bible in your hands. So I just want to let you know that. If you'd like to read that and you don't have one.
Well, interestingly, one of the Christmases I remember, because a lot of services do happen at 9 o'clock, I remember one year I was invited, I think it was another aunt and uncle, had invited me to their service, and it was a 9 o'clock service. So I went to the service and then went on to Mass, because I knew that was going on at 11. And I remember that was fun, because I was with a group of people, group of family members. We had done the Christmas Eve party. We left to go do this service at their church, which is a very beautiful candlelight music service. And then, because the only service that had not happened in Marion at that point was Mass, we thought, well, why don't we go stop by that as well? And that was a beautiful service. So
how long was it, if I may ask?
Mass?
Yeah.
It's midnight Mass, so they end at midnight.
And what time did it start?
11.
11. So it was only an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's not bad.
No.
I've never been to a Catholic Mass.
Midnight Mass is unique. It's an interesting thing, because the people, there are not enough seats because everybody comes, and it's the same service, and they have people do readings, same readings every year, but the parishioners do the readings, and then the father gives his sermon, which is not a long one, and the music is great. It's mostly musically oriented, with the Great Silent Night and Away in a Manger and the First Noel from the big Catholic choir, and it's right in town. So even if it does snow on Christmas, you know, it's not like you're out on a bad road. And I know a lot of church services do have the 9 and 10 o'clock services for candlelight, so that's one you still have time to make, because they won't change the time.
Hey, before we're getting short here, before we go off, there's something I do want to share about this time of season and giving, is that there's some amazing things happening in Prospect, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention those. One of which is the amount of giving going on. I've already shared with you the amount of families and the gifts that we took care of this year, and with young people and families and helping families in that way. But, you know, across from the street from us, the Lutheran Church has a pantry that's on a Thursday every month, and yesterday was their pantry. And I don't know how much they served. I haven't talked to them. But I know the parking lot was full and the street was full for probably a good 6 or 7 hours of helping provide food for people. And I know that the Methodist Church just had their personal needs pantry. I think it is fantastic to see the amount of loving your neighbor that's going on in that little village of Prospect. And I know it's in other villages too. I can only speak for the one I live in. And I just think it's wonderful to see that and to see what they're doing. I know there's some real efforts that go on also in LaRue and other places, Green Camp, and you know, be kind this year, love one another. Man, Tim, that was a great story about Santa sneaking in. I got to tell you the truth, though, it was me.
Oh, now we know.
I don't think so, because I'd have been his age. Hey, I want everyone to have a Merry Christmas, and God bless you all. 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve, 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Love to have you.
Merry Christmas. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
WGH Radio 7.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio, your place for holiday fun. For legendary talk show host Dick Cavett, reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
"Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house